It's a pleasure, as always, to introduce from the Stop the War Coalition, Chris Nynham.
Thanks very much. I witnessed for myself a small example of the effects that the current onslaught on Muslims is having in society. Just a couple of days ago, when I visited Noreen's college, London Metropolitan University, to do a meeting, and discovered on arriving there that the students who'd been leafleting for the public meeting, which was a discussion about exactly what we're discussing today, had been told that the few lines that they had written on the back of the leaflet about criticising some of the policies of their college were not allowed by the university authorities, and that the students had been told that anyone caught handing out that leaflet would immediately be expelled from the university. Now, I mean, this, you know, was quite a graphic proof to me of, first of all, the effect, the impact, the fact that these policies, these statements by politicians and the hype being created in the media is having a very immediate effect on British society at all sorts of different levels. And there's been plenty of chilling examples given today in the discussions that illustrate that. But also, this example kind of illustrated to me the fact that just how the attacks on Muslims, the Islamophobia, is linked to a much more general attack on civil liberties, attack on the freedom of speech and freedom of discussion. And I think that's very important because it gives us a pointer to the kind of campaign that we need to launch in order to take this onslaught on ourselves. I think the Muslim community and all of us can respond to the attacks in three different ways. First, it's possible to try and cooperate and try and placate the people who are orchestrating these attacks, in which case I believe the bullying will simply continue and get stronger. It's possible that the Muslim communities could withdraw into themselves, in which case I believe the Muslims will feel more isolated and they will in fact be more vulnerable to attacks. And it's also possible that we can challenge the attacks head on and draw together the biggest possible coalition of different forces in British society that are opposed to Islamophobia, opposed to the attacks on civil liberties, opposed to racism and opposed to war. And I think that's the path clearly we're agreed on at this conference. What it really does mean is that from today we all have to stand up and be counted. We have to launch a campaign. It's urgent we launch a campaign from this conference. We're starting with a national campaign. We had a statement in The Guardian signed by hundreds of people from all across the spectrum of British society opposing the attacks on Muslim communities. Now we need to make that campaign genuinely national. We're asking every Stop the War group to make sure in their locality they make sure there is a proper campaign with a high profile. Take up that statement and the statement that comes out of this conference. Get local people to sign up, trade unionists, people from the churches, people from the community groups, people from all across the local community, and get it in your local paper and tell the local media about it. Organise public meetings like this one. And I propose as well that any time, every time, a local politician or dignitary or a journalist in the press makes an Islamophobic comment or attacks Muslims in any way, there should be a picket or a protest outside their surgery or outside the newspaper offices immediately to make sure that they think again. It's also crucial that we make the links and expose the links that people have talked about between the attacks on Muslims and the disasters of the war in the Middle East. And this is true because the links are quite clearly there, as people have argued time after time. But it's also true because I believe this is the best way, the most important way, into the mainstream. For the simple reason is the majority of people in this country oppose the war. And we need to be saying loud and clear that these attacks on Muslims, this Islamophobia, is a smokescreen to cover the catastrophe that has taken place in Iraq, to cover the fact that our government, Tony Blair and his allies, are responsible for the decimation of Iraq and Afghanistan. It's a cover for the fact that they're responsible for the death of 655,000 people in Iraq by the best estimates. And it's a cover for the fact that they have taken British troops into a war that everyone in this country knows is illegal, criminal and unwinnable. And that's the argument that we need to take up from here. And as always, the military disaster in the Middle East is kind of creating a terrible sort of rewriting of history. In the US, people have seen the leading neocons are all now trying to say that it wasn't my idea. My favourite actually is, my favourite excuse is, comes from a guy called David Frum, who was one of George Bush's chief speechwriters in the crucial period between the summer of 2002 and the summer of 2003. And his excuse was as follows. He said that Bush didn't properly absorb the ideas that he wrote for him in his speeches. And that's why he got it wrong. Now we have, as people have said, Margaret Hodge, the after-dinner, after-the-event anti-imperialist. And now we even have Tony Blair trying to reinvent himself as the man who has always been for negotiated solutions in the Middle East. I mean, I know he's a lawyer, but that is going to be a very difficult case to make. He is, after all, the one man who stood shoulder to shoulder with George Bush when he made the Axis of Evil speech in 2002. He's really the one world leader who's backed him on regime change right down the line, and the one world leader who stood up for George Bush this summer and supported and green-lighted the Israeli attack on Lebanon. We will not allow him to make this case, and we will not allow him to get away with it. And it's actually because of this rewriting of history that I do want to congratulate one more time Adam Price and the other people who supported him for trying to force a public inquiry into the causes of war through Parliament. It's a very, very important initiative. I believe it's an initiative, if it had been successful, would have made it very difficult for Tony Blair to survive in office, and actually would have done something very, very real towards hastening the end of the war and the calls for troops out. But I also think it's important we do register our dismay and our anger at the failure of so many Labour MPs particularly, many of whom who said that they have been against the war at different times during the campaign, the failure to actually vote for that inquiry. It wasn't a vote for troops out. It wasn't a vote to end the war. It was simply a vote for an open, immediate public inquiry. And it is a disgrace that they didn't stand up and be counted when it mattered. Now, as he says, Adam and his colleagues from right across the political spectrum in Parliament are actually launching a new initiative around the Queen's speech to try and force a debate, this time a debate in Parliament, calling for a debate, a discussion about the exit strategy. And I think it's a very important initiative. And I think in general, it's very important now that we turn up the pressure on the MPs. And I say that partly because Parliament now seems to be just about the only institution in British society that doesn't record an anti-war majority. And that in itself, given it's supposed to be the mother of parliaments, that in itself is a disgrace. But also, it's important because I think the balance of argument is changing. And Margaret Hodge's statement, Claire Short's resignation, the comments made by a number of different Labour Party MPs over the last few months are straws in the wind. They are showing that things are shifting, and the reason things are shifting is because the war in Iraq is unravelling. And for that reason, it's very, very important we put maximum pressure and maximum focus on the MPs and on Parliament. So I ask you all to support Adam Price's initiative and to lobby your MPs in the next few days to try and make sure they sign up to the amendment that they're putting to the Queen's speech, and make sure that on Thursday, if the amendment gets selected by the Speaker of the House, that they vote for the amendment, and that will be a real blow if that happens. As well as doing that lobbying work in the next few days, and whether or not Adam and the others and the campaign wins a debate in Parliament over the next few weeks and months, we propose a day of mass protest at Parliament early in the new year calling for troops out and an end to the attacks on Muslims and attacks on civil liberties. I think in the current climate, I think with the war crumbling, with public opinion on our side on so many issues, and with the strong attacks on Muslims, it would be possible to get thousands of people down to London, thousands of people down to London for a weekday protest that mixed lobbying, mass protest and direct action to try and stop these people from continuing this absurd war and start representing the opinion of the majority of the population in this country. So that's one very, very important initiative. I also think that we need to launch in the colleges a coordinated campaign for civil liberties that has begun in various different parts of the education system. We also have a very important demonstration that was called at the last conference at Bryce Norton, a protest that is being organised by the Stop the War Coalition nationally on December the 2nd, which is marching to the Bryce Norton airbase and calling, demanding that that airbase be used to bring the troops home, not to send more troops out to Iraq. One other way that I think history is being rewritten at the moment is that the media and the commentators and the politicians are completely ignoring the role that the anti-war movement has played over the last months and years. I believe that if it hadn't been for the anti-war movement, Tony Blair wouldn't be facing the kind of crisis that he has been staggering through over the last few weeks and months around the issue of the war. I believe that if it hadn't been for the anti-war movement, we wouldn't have a situation where 62% of the population of this country now believe the troops should come out by Christmas. And I believe, I'm certain in fact, that if we hadn't had the anti-war movement, we wouldn't have had a situation where we narrowly avoided calling this government to account 2 weeks ago and only missed it by 25 votes. I think there's no question the movement has made a huge impact on British society. And just like people once said to us, we'd never get a million people in the streets. Just like people said to us that we wouldn't be able to bring the troops home and create a situation where bringing the troops home was a real political debate taking place at the highest levels of the establishment, I believe some people will say we can't roll back the tide of Islamophobia. Well, I believe if we stay united, if we stay organised, if we continue in our efforts to broaden the movement in every way we can, in every corner of this country, we can turn that tide. We need to start the campaign now. Thank you.
Thank you.